You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. Welcome back to Radio Rehab, where we talk to lots of different people about the faces of addiction and recovery, substance abuse issues. Good to be back. I have a great guest today, Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lisa.
Kathy's back to Radio Rehab. We just get started in a half hour, so this is a continual discussion, the whole deal with recovery and recovery issues. So Kathy's back. We're going to start the discussion again and add some other flavor to it today, because we were just talking before we came on air about why do some people stay sober and drug free and others don't. And Kathy says, you know what, it takes a commitment. So we're going to hear a little about her life, how she came to make that commitment. She's been through treatment 4 times. So if you're new and you've never been to treatment, don't give up, keep going to treatment. But she said she never stuck with recovery. So we're going to hear more about that. I'm excited to have you back, Kathy. Hi.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you. When you asked me that question, and it took me back to when I first tried to go into treatment. I don't remember the exact dates or year, but I know I've been through treatment. This is on 4 different occasions. And
so you kept going back.
Yes, yes. I've been there out of fear. I felt like I was forced. I never really just did it for myself. I've tried it for my family. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was just the right thing to do, except for to do it for myself, you know. I didn't really know that that's what I needed to do.
You probably weren't even thinking about yourself except that compulsion to use. So, yeah, you wanted to please the family, please the job, please the courts. So that motivates some people, I guess, huh?
Yes.
I mean, you go to AA now or NA, and there's lots of people there to get their papers signed.
Yes.
So what do you think about that, the courts pushing people in? And
I didn't go through that myself, but I see it so much in the community. And when I do, most of the people that I encounter in the program, they are there to get the paper signed, or they're there to get their kids back, or, you know, they're not wanting it to, let's just say what I'm seeing is they're not wanting the total solution. They're just wanting to, as we say, figure out a different way to do things or how to just get by or just do enough.
Mm-hmm. They haven't really, the commitment's to get the paper signed.
Right.
They don't understand the steps of the program yet, probably. So tell us how you're born and raised in Evansville, how your story unfolded, and how you ended up getting committed to taking the steps.
Well, I was born in Henderson, Kentucky. My family's from Kentucky. And I'm the oldest of 2 siblings. And I grew up with a strict background, you know, very strict parent, well, single parent.
You mean she kept an eye on you?
Yes, yes. Very much, yes.
In your life. Yeah.
Right, which I'm grateful for today.
Sure.
Once I got into the school thing, I was always someone that had a curious mind, curious about anything outside of what, you know, I needed to learn, you know.
A little rebellious.
Right, very. Not little, very, but so. It was always within myself, you know, and no one knew.
So that was a personality characteristic That rebelliousness, yeah.
High school got to be a little interesting, you know.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Central. I graduated. Okay. I tried a year of college, and once again, it was my alcoholism at that point of time that reason why I didn't want to complete anything, too much partying and not enough studying.
So you started partying in high school?
Yes, I started partying in high school. I started drinking at an early age. And my alcoholism really, It progressed
quickly.
Very quickly, especially in the high school years.
Oh, adolescents, girls, much quicker.
Yes. And a lot of it was to the environment as far as people that I hung out with. And it was, you know, the social thing, the social aspect behind.
So you attracted the people that were wild and crazy and partying? Or?
Yeah, but they kept it on the down low. You know, they did things, but they wasn't with the in crowd.
Gotcha.
It was like a secondary in crowd.
So did you realize back then even that something wasn't right, or did you just think this is the way it is?
I just assumed that's the way it's supposed to be, and, you know, this is the era, and, you know.
You do your own thing generation.
Yes, and my own thinking generation.
Uh-oh. Do your own
thinking. My thinking is basically during that time is, you know, it was what caused me to, you know, I go out and do these things with these people, and I didn't think about the consequences behind it.
Right. So what happened then? You graduated high school and still partying a lot, no real consequences yet with the drinking?
No. I hadn't had, I didn't have any trouble with the law throughout any of my drinking
at all. God. Back then, they weren't on you like they are now.
Yes, exactly.
Now you're drunk driving a few. When you wake up in the morning, you're 08.
So there wasn't really a lot of the college campus, you know, I really, you know, there was just no way to, you could drink and just get away with it and just continue, you know. You know, because all you do is go home and sleep it off, but you really don't have to worry about.
As long as you keep your grades up,
exactly,
you're all right.
Exactly. But I wasn't.
Yeah, right. Not inside.
Yeah.
So you did the college scene. So did the alcoholism progress then to more frequency? And
yes. And then by the time I became a legal citizen, I thought I was legal before then because at 18 I was hanging out in bars.
Whoa.
Without, you know,
ID?
Yes, without ID. Back then it was easy to get away with that. So I knew I could go drink with no consequences behind it. And that's where I started encountering people, you know, different.
Different drugs.
Yes, different drugs. And I started working in the bars and the clubs.
What a perfect job for an alcoholic, to work in a bar.
Yeah.
So you got exposed to other people, other drugs.
Yes. Yes.
So did other drugs enter the picture?
Yes. Started out, you know, with, I've been down the different routes with pills, marijuana, meth,
and powders, pills,
eventually the powder, and then eventually the crack cocaine. So it's been a spiral, you know.
Wow. So by then you had to have known, didn't you, that, I mean, with drinking it's legal, you can justify it, but once you started getting into the drugs, did you start to know you were in trouble?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to stop. And that's when I started my in and out treatment thing, you know. First time go in, you know, stay 30 days and come out a couple years later. It seemed like 2 or 3 years later, I was back in there. You know, the same type of pattern I'm seeing now. But the difference with me then versus now is that I had tried treatment, but I had never tried recovery.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? I think that's pretty profound, that thought.
Recovery, to me, where the difference came in when this time I followed through after treatment. I entered into the aftercare. I completed the aftercare because I'd never been able to complete anything in my life, so I felt like I achieved something. I did 6 months aftercare. After I got out, I did what the program suggests. I got a sponsor first, and I did
followed
the
it.
Meetings, everything that the program suggests. I did the meetings, 90 and 90 days.
Wow.
You name it, I did it.
So really, what you're saying, it sounds like, is the real deal begins after treatment.
Yes.
Where a lot of people think once they've gotten into treatment and they're done, it's over. You're saying it begins when you get out of treatment. Is that right?
Yes, I agree with that.
Wow.
That's exactly what I'm saying, because that's what I see with newcomers today is the not following through, not continuing. They get a little easy, you know, they start taking a little easy, and before you know it, you know, you see them maybe a year or two down the line, and they, you know, they're like, you're still here? Yeah, because I'm still doing the same things I did when I first went in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So you made that commitment to stay the course this time.
I must, daily.
Wow, daily. How do we tell people that's what they have to do?
It, you know, it takes work.
Yes.
But it also takes work to get the drugs and alcohol. And if my concept throughout this treatment and recovery thing is if you put that much effort to drink and drug, put that much effort to stay sober and clean.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
That has been my motto.
Use the same vigor and energy in your recovery. I have a friend, Kathy, that has worked his you-know-what off to stay clean, gone to meetings. I mean, he's done the whole deal. 2 years clean now, and he still thinks about using and dreams about using. What do you think about that?
To me, that's in a spirituality, you know.
Bankruptcy.
Yes,
here.
Yes. I do a lot of reading every morning. I cannot start my day without reading my books. And I read at least 4 or 5 books every morning. And I journal. This is something I have to do daily.
You got a lot of discipline in your...
And when things happen, you know, I don't have the dreams anymore. You know,
how long did you?
For about the first year
and
a half. Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty normal.
Yeah, it's kind of normal. And I was told that right around the 2-year mark is when it gets a little
risky again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
But I was thinking
it can be discouraging.
I seemed to be okay. You know, I was okay around then.
Yeah. You knew it was going to pass.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be okay.
Yeah, I think he knows it's going to pass too. But I think, you think sometimes the newcomers get discouraged because they think that obsession is going to leave immediately. And it doesn't for some people.
They get comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortable. And they allow their outside influences to intervene with what's important if they maintain, you know, if I'm going to put this much effort in my head that I can do this without the program, I wouldn't need treatment. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't need nothing. I wouldn't need to...
If your willpower worked,
if my willpower... But my willpower, once it, you know, if you take that and use that same willpower to read every day, to pray every day, to go to meetings, to call your sponsor.
Discipline, yeah.
You have to get in a routine. You have to... You must make yourself do these things.
Okay. Well, good point. Radio Rehab, don't go away. We've got to take a little break, and we'll be right back to finish and discuss more with Kathy. If you want to call 424-1400, please do. You can ask us any questions about anything, and we'll try to share the best of our knowledge to give you the answers or get you somewhere that you can get the answers. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. We're talking to Kathy, who's been so honest and candid about her life and recovery. And we were just talking at break. She says there's no corner in the universe she hasn't already been in, right?
Yes.
Park Avenue to Park Bench, huh?
That's what it is. Exactly. I have lived on the streets. You know, I have
been like a homeless.
Yes, like a homeless person. I mean, I've lived in abandoned houses. I've been in jail.
Jeez.
I've walked the streets. You know, it's just amazing.
Was that because of crack cocaine?
Yes. It was because of my crack cocaine using.
Took you to the streets.
Yes.
Goodness.
Like you said, exactly, to Park Bench. You know, living days on end, not knowing how you're going to eat, or, just how you're going to get your next drink, a drug, and it's just...
What is it about that lifestyle that people want to go back to?
It's the...
All the times you relapse. What do you think? Do you remember what you were thinking?
Mine was being fearful of dealing with my feelings, my anger.
Okay.
I had a lot of anger inside of me that I was afraid to talk about or not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, ladies don't get angry.
No.
Right.
No.
Ladies, yeah, you don't get angry. So you knew you were carrying around like emotionally constipated?
Yes. And I really did not know what was wrong with me. All I knew is I had this, incited anger. It was almost like a trap door, you know. And you're not allowed, when I was growing up, you were not allowed to be angry.
Right, yeah.
You know, that was out of the question.
Yeah.
You were to do as you were told.
Yep.
Yes. And anything else doesn't matter.
Always look good. That's
right,
the main
and
thing.
Always look good,
mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, those were values that I carry with me today, you know, but in a different way.
Yeah, now you can live it out because you want to, not because somebody's telling us to.
Right.
So, God, Kath, knowing you now and to think of you alone in the streets, walking the streets for money and for dope, that's hard to picture you that way.
Yeah.
Did your family know?
My family loved me very much.
Mm-hmm. Love just doesn't
they
do
just
it.
They just didn't understand what I was going through. I had tried counseling. I had tried going to a therapist. I had
did they address
tried,
it?
I had tried talking to people of my church. I had tried a little bit
did
of
Did they
everything.
Address the addiction? Or did they not know how to talk about the addiction?
Well, my therapist did. She was one of me. So she was.
She knew where to tell you to go.
But I just wasn't. I still feel like she wasn't helping me get to the anger of my problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's what I wanted to deal with more than anything. How do I stop this anger? You know, why do I get so mad but nobody knows or nobody cares?
Yeah. And then in AA, they say the anger's about fear.
Yeah.
So that kind of shifted the gear for you to look at your fear and resentment.
Yes, yes. My biggest thing was the fear because it wasn't just fear of rejection. It was just fear of, being alone.
Sure.
You know, what if my mother leaves me? What if my sister leaves me? You know, I was looking for the wrong type of environment out there. I basically was pulling myself out into the streets, you know, out here around these people because I wasn't finding what I was looking for at home.
Yeah.
So it was my choice.
Yeah, sure. And then driven by the crack
right,
and the booze.
Right.
So do you think women coming into the rooms and into recovery have to deal with that need to be in a relationship too? You think that's...
Oh, yes. That's one of the biggest things that I see today
mm-hmm.
is the need to not be by yourself. I have two children.
Oh, you do? How
yes.
old?
Ages 21. I have two sons. One's 21, one's 27. Two different fathers, two different backgrounds.
Same
different
mom.
Different types of children, same mom. And I have managed with my mother's help to make them productive in members of society, you know.
So you're proud of them.
Yes, I'm very proud of. Yes, I am very proud of those boys.
Yeah.
I always say that I'm blessed, you know, especially with what I see out here with young people, the job I'm doing now, that these young people have these addictions and, you know.
You're at the Job Corps.
Yes, I work at Job Corps.
Oh, my goodness. They're all products of addiction, aren't they?
From all different walks of life.
Wow.
Yes.
And you were addicted by the time you were your son's ages.
Yes.
So here they are. Wow. Are they in Evansville?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
And by the grace of God, they have not had to go there.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yes.
I bet they're proud of you today, too.
Yes, I know.
Definitely.
You know, I have in my background a little, you know, I have, how can I put this?
It's okay.
Okay.
However
I'm gonna
you
say,
want to say it, that's
I have
great.
Members of my family that deal with, they have had alcohol problems.
I think every family has.
Around alcohol, mostly. They may not see it as a problem, but today with me being an alcoholic, I recognize that that's why I couldn't stay clean because of the times I had been through treatment because I did not realize I was an alcoholic.
You just thought crack was
yes,
the thing?
Yes, I thought drugs was my problem.
So alcohol took you back?
Alcohol will take me back, period.
And you know, a lot of folks in our drug court, it's the same thing, Kathy. Yeah. They think, I'm not going to do the meth or I'm not going to do the crack, but I can drink.
Same scenario.
Yeah. How do we deal with that? People that are hardcore druggies that think they can drink, and they go back and drink, and it takes them right back.
I have a friend that's going through that now.
Thinks they can drink?
Yeah, she went through treatment, you know, went to a recovery aftercare place and stayed for 6 months, graduated from that program, and got herself self-sufficient. And then, you know, it's like she feels like she can do one drug and not do the other. And that's okay. No, it's not okay.
I know it's not.
It's not.
No.
Because it took her out of the rooms, you know, she may not be doing that other drug that took her down, but, you know.
It won't be long.
Yeah, it won't be long. And I know
and alcohol can take you down.
Yes.
Whoo, just as fast.
I would stop drinking. I mean, I would stop doing drugs. And I would still drink. And thought, I seriously believe that that was okay. Then before you know it, I'm back on the drugs again. Back and forth.
And your life can get just as unmanageable drinking.
Yes, yes.
Either any mood-altering chemical. Yeah, yeah. But that's a tough sell, isn't it? So
yes.
Back to, it's kind of, we gone in a circle here, what you said before, it takes that 100% commitment.
Yes.
To total clean and sober.
Yeah, that's where the, how can I say this, the thing of, once again, treatment versus recovery. I never understood the difference. I thought treatment is what it was, going to meetings, treatment's all treatment. No, there's a difference.
Because, there's a big difference.
You must be able to be willing to do these things. When I think about my history with drinking and drugging, how many times I was in and out of rehab and, you know, the things I have done, how bad it got over the years, I thought the only thing I have left that I haven't done, because I tried church, I've tried counseling, I've tried this, what do I have left?
Yeah.
It's either that or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My body had already started deteriorating towards, you know, being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I quit when I did.
Yeah.
The only thing I had left was to try recovery. And that was getting in the rooms and doing what I needed to
100%
do. 100%
commitment.
100% committed.
And what's your sobriety date?
My sobriety date is Thank you, Jesus. Is July 13th, 2005.
July 13th.
I have not had to drink a drug since that day.
Wow, that'll be 4 years, God willing, a day at a time.
Yes.
Kathy, where can people find you? What church do you go to?
I attend Nazarene Baptist Church.
So people can find Kathy there and
yes.
talk to you there.
On Walnut Street.
Or
one block away from...
the club.
Yes, from somewhere where you can get help if you
yeah.
need
it. And where else, that's what I was just going to say, where else, so they can find you at church, where else would people find you? AA meetings.
Yes, AA meetings almost in any rooms from Newburgh to Henderson.
Yeah.
Everybody knows me.
Yeah. So whoever wants to find Kathy and hear more about her story, you just look up Kathy B. at Nazarene or any of the 12-step meetings. What would you like to say in closing? This has gone so fast. You will be back. We'll have you back again to Radio Rehab. Anything in closing?
Yes. Or there's something I would like to share with people that are trying to get this thing, and it's called our primary purpose. It is with gratitude that I reflect on the early days of our fellowship and those wise and loving four-steppers who proclaimed that we should not be diverted from our primary purpose, that of carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I desire to impart respect to those who labor in the field of alcoholism, being ever mindful that AA endorses no other causes other than its own. I must remember that AA has no monopoly on miracle making, and I remain humbly grateful to a loving God who made AA and made that possible.
Wow, what a great way to end the show. Thank you very much. That came out of what meditation?
That came out of the Daily Reflection.
Which is an AA approved
yes.
literature.
Thank you for having me on, Lisa.
Well, that primary purpose is key, isn't it?
Yes, yes it is. And that is to carry the message to the ones that still suffer.
So if you're suffering out there, please know that there are people out here that are doing the deal, staying sober, making changes, making commitments, and you all that have it in your family know that we're available to help there as well.
Yes, and those of you out there that know me, you guys know I'm a miracle.
Absolutely. Miracles happen. Well, thank you very much. Radio Rehab, if you want to hear Kathy on the World Wide Web, next week go to www.lisaseifcares.net and you'll get to hear her on the web. Just hit podcast. And if you need to talk to Kathy or me, call here at Radio Rehab, WEOA, the pump, 424-1400, and we would be glad to talk to you privately as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you and talk to you again next Saturday. Kathy, thanks. Love you.
Thank you, Lisa. Love you, too.
And you guys out there, don't forget, between now and next week, do the next right thing.
The Pump, 1400 AM, WEOA, Evansville, Henderson.